Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
My name is Peter.
And my name is Ashton.
Hi, guys. How are we?
Pretty good.
Okay, thank you.
A little bit sleepy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm also a bit sleepy.
I got a little bit stuck in a YouTube rabbit hole last night, and it started at about 11, and it finished at about 1:30.
What kind of YouTube rabbit hole?
Oh, kind of all sorts of things. Like, it started out just on my sub box. Anyone follow that seagull? Me feeding my pet seagull every day to gain his trust?
No.
I mean, in some ways,
I think I've seen it on TikTok.
Yeah, yeah. It's I think he posts everything to TikTok and YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, in some ways, probably shouldn't be like feeding a seagull, but it's just the same one every time.
Yeah.
Flies up to his window. He's been doing it for like 120 days or something. It'll climb on his hand.
Yeah, they're best friends now.
He's called Steven Seagull. That's our joke.
That's a ripoff. Why don't you do that? Lawyers are on their way.
He had babies as well.
He had babies?
He, Stephen.
Gave birth to the babies?
Stephen had babies.
Yep.
Wow, that's complicated.
Yeah, seagulls give birth to live young. Anyway, so it started there, but it ended up, I watched someone build a really big Howl's Moving Castle out of like bits of plastic, just like food packages and lolly sticks and stuff, which was so therapeutic to watch.
Really?
Yeah.
What time did you finish?
Like 1:30 in the morning, something like that.
Man, I've been on a roll of late nights, haven't you?
Yeah. I've been in a bit of a Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares vibe on
that
YouTube at the moment.
That does not sound like an easy thing to get you off.
Recommending
to
sleep. Me like various episodes
really
of Gordon Ramsay's
at a woman
Kitchen
until
Nightmares.
She cries.
Like, Gordon Ramsay hates the food, or it's like Gordon Ramsay says this fish and chips taste like a battered condom.
It's like, well, I've got to hear him say this. Play.
I like to
this
just
fish and chips taste like a battered condom.
Yeah. I like to watch like the first half where he's like slagging off the food and then witnesses a dinner service and he's like, you're out of your mind. And
what's
he's raging.
What's wrong with you?
He's like, you're an absolute idiot. And I'm always like, yes, tell him, Gordon. And I like when they get angry as well because it's like, that's Gordon Ramsay.
Gordon.
Yeah.
It's effing raw.
What are you?
An idiot sandwich.
Brilliant. Well, I've not
been watching
any YouTube? No. I watched all of On My Block yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Season 4.
Interesting choice for you, I think.
Yeah, well, I watched it popped up on Netflix earlier this year, and I just saw, like, the first, like, you know, the little teaser it gives you. And I was like, that's quite funny. I enjoy that. It's very for a certain age group demographic.
Yeah.
But I still ended up enjoying it. And then I wasn't feeling too great yesterday, and season 4 was just on Netflix. And I was like, okay, time to watch 6 hours of television.
Did you watch What If last night?
No,
the last episode.
No, I didn't. But I've got it.
It's really good. You should watch it.
Ready to go.
Yeah.
What was that?
What?
Was just a very polite way of interrupting me. That's what she was doing.
I just had to like get the question out.
Got to get
and
it.
I
in
just
there.
Had to like touch you. I'm sorry.
Anyway, this is our video game podcast. We are 3 minutes into it, and it's time to talk about games. Of course, each and every week on our video game week on our video game podcast, we've got an appropriate video game sponsor, is what I was trying to say. I have the ad read.
Yeah.
As it's now the spook month, the spooky sponsors, they're rolling in. They're flying in. And this week, we are proud to be sponsored by an anti-diuretic, actually.
Oh.
Called Outlast Poo.
Outlast Poo. As in You
unpack that.
What's a diuretic, please?
Well, unpack that. Is that their slogan?
Yeah.
Yes. Maybe it's an anti-diuretic. I don't know. Maybe I've written it down wrong.
You said anti-diuretic.
No, that is right then.
So it's an anti-diuretic.
That to stop you having diarrhea.
So it'll harden your stool.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Outlast poo.
Yes. So you outlast.
You will outlast poo.
The poo.
Right.
So it takes longer. So
when you think about it,
day.
It's actually really clever.
Yeah.
And it makes a lot of sense.
Or it could be a diuretic, and then it's outlast poo.
So you will never poo. So you take it. You void your bowels and then you
never
die.
Poo. Never poo again.
So you
poo
again.
I would love to never have to poo again.
Wow. I imagine there's a lot of drugs actually that will void your bowels and kill you.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anything really.
Well, then you have to have one of those poo transplants, which is the colloquial term for it. It's a real.
So like, they
real
reintroduce thing. The
someone
the
else's poo.
Flora and stuff to your
if
tum-tum.
You, yeah, if you like strip.
Not that's where your poo doesn't go in your tum-tum.
People,
your tum-tum.
People get, some people have like enema addictions and stuff. They like, and they over enema themselves. Or if they've been really ill and they've just like stripped their digestive system,
all of their flora and stuff,
then other people will donate their poo.
That's so thoughtful.
Which then gets like inserted into your intestines and spread like flora.
That's right. I was going to say just like
no,
like on
warm. Why did you say that?
Warm toast.
No.
It's a video game podcast. Is that a real sponsor?
Sadly, no.
Oh.
But you've outdone me there with your horror. your abject disgust. The fact that you've grossed out Ashton is impressive.
I know. I'm pretty impressed by that. I'm claiming that as a picture.
Just the idea of a knife in your bum hole, spreading it.
Well,
like
okay, that wasn't the visual I had.
Well, that's the visual I had.
Let's just give everyone
and then
just
said warm toast. And that
let's
really made
give everyone just a few seconds. We're sorry. We're actually sponsored by our wonderful patrons, if we have any left at this point, over at patreon.com/teamtriplejump, where for as little as $1 per month, you can submit questions to this podcast. There's tons of other rewards available. We've introduced loads of new rewards. They're all kicking off this month. You will have already seen Triple Jump After Dark. The first episode went up on the podcast feed for free. There is a second episode available now. It's a fortnightly podcast. There's loads of stuff. So do consider going over there and supporting us.
It's really
we've got something
good.
Else as well, that's haven't right. we? Pashtun. Can you say it at the same time?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
We have another real, actual sponsor called TripleJump.gg.
Hello, everyone. As well as our extremely real and totally not fictitious in any way sponsor, we're officially partnered with PlayStation, Xbox, and Nintendo to sell their codes through our own website, triplejump.gg.
Here you can get everything from topping up your digital wallets to PlayStation Plus, Xbox Live Gold, Xbox Game Pass, and Nintendo Switch Online subscriptions, as well as Minecraft Mine Coins. Mine Coins, they'll be your coins any minute.
Nice one, Peter.
Yeah, thanks very much.
It's 100% legitimate, directly supports us, and provides you with the delightful digital currencies you're going to buy anyway. Visit triplejump.gg to browse our full stock.
Triplejump.gg. This is a real sponsor.
It's time for question one. This is from Zach Gibson, who says, what's the most disappointing final boss you have encountered? Thank you for all the top quality content you put out. Have a great rest of your day.
Oh, Zach.
You too. Zach. I really appreciate that.
Goodness me. Do you know what? It's going to be a pretty boring answer, but flipping the boss of Tekken 4, right? I've talked about Tekken bosses before in terms of unforgiving bosses and, you know, ones that made you angry cry. And
they've usually got like horns and stuff, haven't they?
Yeah, well, exactly. They've usually got horns. There's one, the one in Tekken 5 has like a mouth on his tummy and he will like gobble you up.
Oh, I'm more of a moose.
Well, that's cheating, isn't it? What is that?
I was going to do horns, but I was doing like horns with different like spikes off, but I kind of just look like a moose.
He won't actually gobble you up with his tummy mouth. He will shoot a fireball at you that is very difficult to dodge.
Oh, wow. Yeah, he definitely needs a diuretic of some kind.
He does, yeah. Outlast poo. Tekken 3 has like basically an actual dragon, which is kind of cool. And then there's like the Devil Kazuya, who's like a purple winged man.
The Devil Kazoo.
And as hard as it is, at least the really annoying Tekken 6 or whatever it is, a boss that I really hate called Azazel.
Bless you.
Razzle Dazzle.
Give him the old.
Looks kind of cool. He's like this 15-foot crocodile man with like an Egyptian headdress on, and he's sort of made out of crystals.
He sounds cool.
Yeah.
Sounds like a guy I could get a beer with.
So you've got that whole pantheon of actual monsters and stuff. Mm. But the final boss of Tekken 4 was Combat.
Excuse you?
I'm going to need you to spell that for me right now.
C-O-M-B-O-T.
Okay, com.
Combat.
Gotcha.
It was the final boss.
Get your mind out of the gut.
What? Get your mind out of the intestines, all right?
Yeah.
How dare you?
Combat.
So most of the...
Bumbles.
I mean, I might not be remembering this correctly, but there he is.
He's rubbish.
There he is.
Oh,
picture
my God.
Of Combat.
He looks like a bad CGI robot from the opening of some robot combat show.
He looks like he's from the movie Robots, though, like, picks the animated
movie. Oh, God, that was a bad film.
I really liked that movie, actually.
I didn't like it that much, but when I was a kid, I was on a long-haul flight, and it was the only kids' movie they had, so I watched that film 3 times in a row.
I did that with Sharkboy versus Lava Girl.
Oh, right, yeah. I've seen that film.
I've never been on a flight long enough to have film.
Haven't you?
No. Have film.
Have film.
To have film.
Combat is the final boss for most of the characters in Tekken 4. Some of them actually have a different final boss depending on their storyline, but he's like the default one. So if you pick like the least interesting character that Namco clearly cares nothing about, you just get to the final round and it's like, Combat, go. And he's just a fighting robot. And you stand in this like wrestling ring or boxing ring. So
like Real Steel starring Hugh Jackman.
Exactly. I don't know what that is, but yes.
Do you know what Real
just
Steel
like
is?
That.
Oh, Christ.
And you've got a crowd cheering you on and you just fight this robot who I think has that thing of what various fighting game characters have where they imitate the fighting style of different characters.
Yeah,
and
like
sometimes
Real Steel, yeah.
Yeah, just like that. And so they'll switch it up, which is something that Tekken has done more than once before. But Combat was rubbish. Just really, really just so
combat.
Underwhelming.
I hate Combat.
Had no personality. It was literally a robot and never appeared before or probably since. Might have been in Tekken Tag 2 because that had like every character in it. But
maybe he just wanted a friend.
Yeah.
Well, he probably did.
Did you try and talk to him first before you killed him?
No.
Before you fight shamed him.
Yeah. And also just an honorable mention to Haven Call of the King, which not only had a bad ending, but also the final boss, despite the fact that there are some boss fights in that game, the final boss is just a quick time event. And that's all it is. Mm. So you fight actual bosses throughout the game and you get to the big bad and it's just that.
So press X.
Yeah. Press X to be chained to rock and die. So those are mine. Ashton?
I only really have one answer, and it's a game that we've talked about on the podcast before because it's a game that we've played recently. I couldn't think of anything where I've been like, oh, that was disappointing. Normally I'm just like, oh, that was it? Okay, that's fine. I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. But the end boss of Plague Tale is
so
bad. Like, it's just a real bad... I don't know if you haven't heard of us talk about it before. You're fighting some kind of evil Pope man. And
I don't know. Is it too soon for spoilers?
I mean, I want to play Plague Tale at some point soon-ish. So.
Okay, well, I mean, it's not...
There's a Pope man.
There's an evil Pope man.
But you know he's evil pretty much from the get-go anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, he's,
and
he's
his
very,
boss fight
he's
is
like
just...
decaying, basically, yeah. when you look at him. It's like, that's an evil Pope
that's
man.
That's an evil Pope man.
Not that there are many benevolent Pope men in real life either.
I don't think there are any at all.
Yeah, and the boss fight is just clumsy and doesn't make any sense, and it's just ridiculous. And the kind of arena for the boss fight is like real tiny, and just doesn't really give you any leeway at all.
If you were like me, Ashton, you were sat there doing that boss fight, thinking, "How did it come to this?
Yes,
how did we get here?
Yeah,
this is really stupid.
Yeah, and then it's just kind of a very disappointing."
It's just a rule of threes boss fight, isn't it?
You just you make sure you get him hit 3 times, and then you do a win.
Yeah,
and like it's just really not very good.
Crap. Can't wait.
Basically, Peter, you only need to play like 7 hours of Plague Tale.
When you get to the cart, you can just stop playing.
Right. You'll know the cart.
That basically that whole thing from the cart onwards is just bad.
I was ready to stop playing a considerable amount of time before that as well.
It's a shame, but I mean, I kind of feel like in some ways, what's the point of me playing then? Because I don't want to finish half the story.
You'll love the setting.
I will. I know. I've already played a little bit of that game. But, you know, what's the point in starting a game if I'm not going to finish the story? I hate, like, not finishing something.
You'll finish it because if you want to, like, finish the story.
Yeah,
but
like you
just
guys
pre-warning,
you'll hate it
from, like, the end of the game. Like, you'll really enjoy it up
We're
to a certain
We're doing you a favour, really, Peter, because if we
We're
said it was
setting
amazing...
setting your expectations,
you, if
you know?
Went in, you'll be like, what the hell is wrong with
I
you?
I think I might have played it a little bit sooner than... I might have started playing it maybe this week or last week, if not for the fact that...
Okay. I thought you said you had started.
No, like I might have done if I'd not, or kind of been not put off entirely, but now I'm like...
There's a really fantastic cart bit.
You're going to really enjoy it.
And you can ride
it.
That bad boy all the way to the best final boss you've ever seen.
But it is gorgeous. But like, I think the game's really good. And then like, it just kind of lets itself down at
the
end.
The child is really
annoying
as well.
I don't think the child was that annoying.
It's the worst. Thing.
But I think
he's
it's
so
because Ben
needy.
Is just.
He says mate all
he's
the time.
He's a 4-year-old. He's like
so
a full
needy.
Child.
Like, oh, save me. I'm 4. just learn how to use a gun, will
just
you?
Just learn how to be 8.
Yeah.
God.
Do a flip,
oh
coward.
God.
Yeah. Be 10.
Rubbish.
Just grow
Rubbish.
Up.
Rubbish.
Ben?
Yeah, I have one that's actually entirely relevant to what I'm playing at the moment as well, and that is, and I don't know if I should really spoil it, but the final boss of Demon's Souls is not good.
Okay.
In that it's thoroughly underwhelming. Demon's Souls is the by far the easiest and most accessible Soulsborne game there is, not only from its level structure in that you have a central area that you just warp to levels, and it is... not open-ended. It is you start at the beginning of the level and then you fight your way to a boss at the end, mm-hmm. and then you can warp back and then warp back to that point and then go to the continue on to the next boss,
right.
and so on. So it's super simple, and if anyone wants to get into these games or give them a go, Demon's Souls is definitely the one to do it. Obviously PS5 is the most accessible way to do that. Not everyone can get a PS5 at the moment, and they're expensive, so maybe not. But the PS3 version still does exist.
Apart from everyone in our office managed to get one.
Everyone in our office pretty much got a PS5 last week. It was
Fraser
ridiculous.
Fraser Porter, some kind of PS5 marketplace, just
he
on
just
hand.
He just like had these hacks. Our social media community manager man, Fraser. He was just going from PC to
you
PC.
You get a PS5.
To people who
you
wanted
You get
them.
A PS5.
And we've already had one show up this week. I think Kieran got his.
One showed up last weekend. James has showed up this week.
Yeah, and James there's two more on the way. Ross is getting one. Jack Atkins, the writer for Cultaholic, is getting one. Andrew got one as well. Yeah,
so.
Andrew was getting a second one, wasn't he? Because
yeah,
he's already got one.
Yeah.
So yeah, anyway, everyone's
Andrew's
got a PS5.
A second one.
For his partner. Yeah. Anyway, the point is, if you want a PS5, you can flip and get one. And Demon's Souls is great. However, because it is easier, some of the bosses are, you know, it was their first attempt at really doing this kind of genre. You know, it was a trailblazing game, and a lot of the bosses are not particularly hard, especially by the standards of later games.
Mm-hmm.
The last boss, what most people would consider to be the last boss, is really visually impressive, fantastic music, really foreboding. It's the, what you fought the whole game to get to. Then... there's like another one, but it is an 12-year-old game. It's a little slug thing. You fight a little slug thing,
right.
and it doesn't really fight back. It sort of goes and like hits you for a tiny amount of damage. It's meant to be sort of a symbolic, oh, is this what humanity has come to kind of moment? But in terms of like
hitting
you fight,
slugs.
You fight the Tower Knight as your like second or third boss in the game, and it's this massive, great big thing with a huge shield, really impressive to look at. And then it ends with that. And it's kind of like, oh man, I really wish it would have ended with the cool fight on top of the ruined castle, but never mind.
This slug
it.
Will do, I guess.
The slug will do. The slug covered in sticks will do. You can't co-op that fight, unsurprisingly. Not that you would need any help.
It's a solo experience.
It is. You really have to absorb the lore. But yeah, that,
I don't
want to
share my slug fight with anyone.
Yeah.
No, you really got to drink
it
in.
It's mine and my only slug.
You got to drink it in. Hopefully, I haven't ruined the game for people. The game is phenomenal. I just think the final boss is a letdown. But there we are. That's my answer.
Great.
Shall we move on?
Good answer.
I think so.
Yeah.
To a section. Have we done it before, Ashton?
I really don't think we have.
Oh. Have we done it before, Peter?
Yeah.
Right, well, you two are going to have to.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, no, so,
No.
I thought we were going on to a big discussion, but no, that's
no,
not.
No, that's later.
What is this, then? I'm confused now. I don't know where we are.
What we play in.
How do you spell that?
Pula-a your inner.
No, we've not done that before.
And then one of those flicks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What's it called?
An ampersand.
An apopetrophe.
A what? An apopetrophe.
Apopetrophe.
Oh, Christ. It's what we play in time. It's time to talk about what we play in. Peter Ost. Mm. Peter Ost.
Peter Ost.
Not Plague Tale.
No.
No.
No. I was busy over the weekend, so I didn't get to play over the weekend at all. But at the start of the week, I finished Kena, the Bridge of Spirits. Yeah.
How did you find the last boss?
I thought it was probably easier than some of the other bosses.
Like really? Were you playing on normal?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I found the last boss to be way more challenging than any of the other bosses.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I found... So it's in a few stages. I found... I won't be too spoilery.
I haven't finished the game yet.
Okay. But
there's a giant slug man.
There's a slug.
And he's a pope.
I don't fight it with my cart. Rot slug.
Yes.
Yeah.
There is a bit where... you fight there are a few stages to the boss fight and one of the stages involves fighting a bigger target than other parts of the boss fight, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah. And a big slug.
When you fight the big slug, I found that trickier than fighting the non-big slug.
Okay.
Or slugs. I thought it was a good... it was a fairly well-designed boss fight in that it kind of said, here's everything you've learned, you know,
do
all this.
You do have to use all the stuff.
Yeah, which is fun. I thought that, you know, my opinion obviously remains unchanged in terms of that game is very tranquil and pretty and enjoyable in that sense. But I feel like Kena just doesn't really get enough character development throughout that game. I just don't really...
Know what she's about.
I don't really care about her that much beyond the extent of just she is protagonist. You know, hello, I am protagonist.
Yeah.
And I kind of want to. She seems like a nice person, you know?
Yeah.
Someone you could get a beer with.
I hope, yeah. I hope she does well and enjoys the rest
of
her
existence. What are you going to do after school, Kena? You got any plans?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, just like talking to
just go home and be conscientious and like just learn how to be a better spirit guide. Okay.
Okay.
Right.
Sweet.
Want to come for a drink or anything?
No, I've got to go home and guide spirits and stuff.
Okay. Well.
Okay.
See you later, I guess.
You know, there's always a place for you here.
Yeah. You're always welcome at our table.
Okay, thanks. No, I'm up for it, but not tonight.
She just sprints off into the woods.
I've got to go.
Thanks for the invite.
Actually, she's more got more
I totally
wobbly
agree with
arms.
You. What's happening?
We're doing the run. She's kind of got wobbly arms when she runs.
Da-na-na-na-na.
I do agree with you, Peter. I didn't give it much thought because at the end of the day, there was so little character development that it almost felt like she's just meant to be a vessel for the player. But I do wish we learned a bit more. Like she had some backstory apart from, this is my daddy's stick.
Yeah.
And that's my stick.
I have a bit of an issue with... I prefer games to either go all or nothing if they're going to be like, oh, what's going on? It's open to interpretation. How does this magic system work? How does this all work? You know, if it's something like the Soulsborne games, I'm aware that they are very, hugely interpretational and there are channels dedicated to just talking about Dark Souls lore and stuff. Mm. And I like that. I'm well up for that. And likewise with... I really liked Little Nightmares 1. You just move from one zone to the next and you have to just piece together. Well, this functions as like there are loads of kids being kept here. This one is a kitchen and this one is where lots of people are eating mystery meat. Mm. What's going on? And that is very much up to you to piece together. But I thought with Kena, some of it just didn't make a lot of sense to me. I don't want to be too spoilery, but there's a bit where... you try and confront the boss earlier on in the game than the final boss fight.
Mm.
And I didn't quite know what was supposed to have happened exactly in that cutscene. But given that they do try and explain other things throughout the game, I kind of thought, I don't like that middle ground. I don't like the fact that there's just this weird bit in the middle of the game where I was like, what? actually just happen there? Did I die temporarily and then come back or what? Hmm?
Part of me wishes I kind of got it, but maybe I...
It might just be me. Like, yeah. It could totally be me. But a lot of it is just presented very visually without a lot of dialogue. Because obviously Kane is on her own. She's not always got anyone to talk to and say, oh, exposition. What just happened? Yeah.
She just makes silly baby noises at the rots.
Yeah.
That's kind of it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I make silly baby noises at the rots.
Yeah, I can imagine. But overall, I did really enjoy it. But I agree with what you said last week, Ben, which is that I don't mind if they don't do a sequel.
I'd be happy for them to do something else.
Yeah.
Explore new ground. I think that'd be pretty good.
Yeah. But that's what I've been playing.
I'm not going to go for master difficulty.
No, thanks. See you later. I did also play a little bit more Orcs Must Die because it has been a hot minute since... No, it's not been a hot minute. It's been like 3 weeks. Yeah. But I played that... when I got it, I played it nonstop until I completed it. And then I didn't play any while I was playing Kena and stuff. So I thought, well, you know, go back and have a second run at that and just, you know, mop up some high scores and stuff. Mm. So that's what I've been doing. Yeah.
Nice.
Fair. Yeah, I've been playing Kena as well. I've been trying to collect like all of the stuff before I go into the last boss fight, but there's one rot that I simply cannot find, and I've looked up guides and I can't find it. I've gone through, I know the area that it's in like the field area, but I've gone through like the guides, checked every place where it could be, and I literally cannot find it anywhere.
Have you done the thing with the water dragons where you go through the garden and you make all the plants grow?
Yep.
You have, because that one was one that I didn't realize until I was mopping like, things up.
I'm missing a couple of hats, but I haven't actually gone back to find those yet. I've been trying to find this last rot. But I wanted to finish everything beforehand and I couldn't find this rot, so I got kind of annoyed and just was like, I'll play something else for now and I'll go back and I'll find another time. So I played some more Life is Strange at the weekend as well. Mm-hmm. So I've been getting through that. I went to the alternate reality and then came back from the alternate reality. It's not made me cry yet, but I think maybe I'm emotionally stunted because everyone was saying Edith Finch will make me cry on stream, but I just kind of laughed my way through Edith Finch.
Didn't make me cry. I just thought it was a really brilliant game.
It was a really good game. But I did laugh when a man got yeeted off the cliff. So yeah, maybe I am.
Maybe you're a psychopath.
A bit broken. Mm. Played some. I know I've kind of had a week where I've like been jumping around from different games because I don't really know exactly what I wanted to play. So I played some more Orcs Must Die 3 with MB. We played a bit more at the weekend. We are not very good at that game.
Okay.
I don't think we've got through the last couple of rounds with more than 10 lights in our light thing.
You're using mad barricades to make
choke points. But just we tried that a couple times and we're just not very good at it. But
maybe co-op. I've not played co-op. I don't know if they maybe throw more enemies at you in co-op to make it harder.
Maybe. And then we've also been playing some Borderlands 2 again, and we played a bit more Lemniscate last night. I really like that game. I think it's really clever. If you've got someone else to play it with. I mean, you can play it online, but we've just playing it between us. And there was one round, we're playing it turn-based. So I go and then he watches me and I do what I want to do. And then he goes and then we take it in turns. Mm-hmm. And during one of the rounds, I had a sniper and I was trying to take out a couple of his guys to stop them from destroying my points. And he got his sniper out to try and kill my sniper, but instead just shot his guy right in the back of the head within seconds of the round. And then spent the rest of the game trying to stop this sniper from shooting this other guy in the head. And it didn't work. So every round he's like, oh, damn it, I haven't caught him in time. He literally shoots him within seconds of starting the round. So he was having a pretty bad time with that one. But I think I really enjoy that game. And I think it's really clever. Hmm. And if you like shooty games, but you don't like the high pressure situation of having to like straight away just figure out what's going on without any like knowledge, then I recommend Lemniscate. I think it's really fun. Hmm. It's also an Xbox Game Pass. You haven't got to pay for it if you've got Xbox Game Pass.
Pay for it.
So yeah, that's what I've been playing this week.
Nice. I have finished and platinumed Life is Strange True Colors.
Oh yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it. I think it doesn't really everyone that's sort of involved in the central cast is like in their early 20s this time, whereas in all the other ones you've been like teenagers. And so the drama was inherently a little less teeny bop.
Yeah.
But it also felt that the stakes were a little lower this time. The other games all focused on, God, can't life be flipping horrible?
Strange.
Look how terrible people can be. And like all these ridiculous, over-the-top situations that you would learn about in like school. You know, like we were talking about this the other day, like public safety information films or whatever that they show to kids. Like, don't go fishing near fishing lines or you'll electrocute yourself. Don't fly a kite next to a power station. Don't get in a stranger's car, all that kind
of
stuff.
Don't talk to strangers on the internet. Hay bales.
Where it would be almost, the end result would be almost comically horrific.
Yeah.
Like so over the top bad. Mm. That's usually been what Life is Strange has kind of lent into, is like, how bad could it get?
Yeah.
Pretty flipping bad, actually.
Well, the first one's like, there's an apocalypse happening.
Yeah.
And you're like doing all of this like teen drama stuff whilst also there's an apocalypse looming on top of you at the exact same time.
I actively don't want to ever play Life is Strange. I don't think it sounds very nice, like very enjoyable. I think like there are games such as Edith Finch that I are very much kind of like, oh, I must play that one day. But whenever I hear about Life is Strange, it just sounds really depressing.
To be fair, like I was kind of the same, but I was intrigued by it and I have enjoyed it while I'm playing it. But I do think that I'm like, oh, another bad thing's happening. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I found Rachel.
Okay.
And I was a bit like, oh, this is a bit sad. Mm. But I'm just kind of like, emotionally, I just can't deal with
this. It's balanced by the good stuff. The sad stuff is balanced by love, persevering, and young people being good.
Yeah.
And that's usually what it is. It just felt like in True Colors, the stakes were lower. I love the world, and I love the town, and I love all the characters. But because I'm not necessarily... It could be because I'm experienced with Life is Strange games and how certain decisions usually play out.
Mm-hmm.
Like... someone, for example, is being obviously set up as a detestable, hateable person. So I'm intentionally quite nice to them when it inevitably comes out that maybe they're misunderstood. It's the writing is on the wall for me. So it could be a combination of experience or, you know, maybe not very good writing.
Mm.
But there weren't really any difficult situations for me to navigate. Usually Life is Strange puts these really impossible decisions in your hands where it's like, someone is going to be really upset with this decision, but I never felt like I was backed into a corner in that regard.
Yeah.
So in a way, it was sort of just 6 to 8 hours of role-playing in an idyllic town with people who really care about you, and occasionally something went kind of bad, which was delightful, and I did really like it, but I don't think it was necessarily, as I said, high stakes as the other ones. But I do wholeheartedly, and it's so nice for it all to be released in one go. I liked it so much that I ended up upgrading to like the special version, which had an additional chapter which takes place before you arrive in the town and you play from the perspective of another character. And that was super fun, but I don't know if I could necessarily recommend it because it was pretty basic. So only if you're like really jonesing for more content. And that was actually released like towards the end of last week, so it's a good thing I delayed playing Life is Strange because the additional content was ready when I finished the game. Anyway, I'd really recommend it, but if you're a Life is Strange fan and you haven't had a chance to play it yet, maybe temper your expectations. I think it's just a really nice game.
Is Life is Strange 2 the same characters as Life is Strange?
All the Life is Strange games have a tiny bit of crossover, but each one follows a different protagonist and a different story. So 2's really good. I liked 2 as well. Apart from that, my job as a Demon Souls Sherpa came to an end when I helped my friend get through the final boss and the last bit of the game, and he ended up loving it, as you know everyone does, because Demon Souls is so good. And this weekend, I am doing one of the game weekend things that I try to do a couple of times a year with my friends, but you know, COVID, so that hasn't happened. And I think we've already played through all of Demon's Souls on PS3, and now we're going to go through it on PS5 and maybe play as like a class or a build that I've never done before. Maybe like a faith build that uses miracles.
Stealth Archer.
Not a Stealth Archer.
I will play a different class this time. Stealth Archer.
Stealth Archer every time. Stealth Archer every time. But that's what I've been playing.
Fantastic.
I think it's time for question 2, you know.
Okay.
I don't.
This one comes from Tommy the Wank Engine. Tommy says, my roommate Ellen. Hi, Ellen. Nice to see you again. Evelyn. Thank you, Evelyn, for drawing us as Overcooked characters.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing.
Looked up the TV at the exact moment I was examining the lower half of a dead clicker in The Last of Us 2. So she was greeted with a full screen mushroom dong. My questions are, one, how do I apologize? And two, what's the worst thing in gaming someone has walked in on you playing?
My question three is, do the clickers have actual mushroom dongs in The Last of Us?
There's like, some of them have like really detailed. They're just like,
oh my God.
Clothes are ripped. You can also see female nipples in it sometimes, which is grotesque.
Goodness. I don't think I've ever looked hard enough, you know? Maybe next time I need to...
You're doing it wrong.
Mm. I want to play through it again, so maybe next time
I've definitely never seen exposed dong.
There's exposed genitals.
May have seen.
It's really subtle though.
I've probably seen boobies.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, there are boobies in it. Yeah, but they're like, they've got cauliflower on them and stuff. It's weird.
Yeah,
but they're broccoli they're
boobies.
They're there.
Number one, how do I apologize? I don't think you should. I think you should be like, hey, don't shame me.
You didn't make the game.
Yeah.
It's Neil's fault.
If you were a zombie and you had a mushroom penis, would you want people to look at it? I think I would.
I would. Yeah.
I would look my penis.
And I
mushroom.
Wouldn't want those people's partners to say, why are you looking at that mushroom penis for?
Mm.
And well, why are you looking at it? You're looking at it as well. We're all looking
at it.
We're all looking at the mushroom dog.
Question two, what's the worst thing in gaming someone has walked in on you playing? See, I really, really had to rack my brains for an answer to this because I guess I just like had like nice sort of environment of privacy in
my
childhood, and my parents wouldn't just walk in on stuff. I hear all these stories about, oh yeah, when I was playing Ride to Hell Retribution, my parents walked in during the overall sex scene.
It's pretty
like,
raunchy, to be fair.
You know, why are your parents just walking in on you like that? So I was I've actually got a whole list of things.
It
took me ages to think of an answer. And all I could think of was the Christmas that I got Resident Evil 4.
Mm. From Grandma. Cool Grandma.
It wasn't from Grandma.
Was it Peter's Gamer Uncle?
No. It was Cool Grandma.
No, I don't believe so. It was Peter's Gamer Uncle. But Cool Grandma was there. She was staying over Christmas.
Presumably.
All the time. Yeah. And it was on like Boxing Day or maybe even the 27th. I think she was still there. When people stayed at my house, they would have my room because we had a bed that had a bed under it. And you could like bring it up. So it'd be two single beds.
Oh,
so, and I would normally sleep downstairs on the sofa bed. But my PS2 was in that room. So I was in that room playing Resident Evil. And Grandma was in there at the other end of the room just ironing. And I don't know why she was doing the ironing. She was a guest in that house.
It's what grandmas do.
And
I booted
up the game for the first time. And the opening cutscene played. And then I walked into the spooky house right at the start. And the man tried to kill me. And I shot him. And then the policeman who drove Leon into the village got knocked off of the cliff into a ravine. And Leon watches it all happen through the window, turns around, has a moment of realization, and then with the most emphasis I've ever heard anyone say the word, goes, shoot, like that, but the bad word.
No, grandmas don't like that one.
Grandmas don't like that
There's
one.
A really hard T at the end, shoot. My grandma just heard her from the other end of the room go, oh no.
Oh, that's the worst reaction from a grandma.
That is.
My goodness.
And that's it. That's the worst experience I've had with someone being like, what are you playing, young man? And she was, and that was it. She was fine with it after that. I was like,
she wasn't bothered.
Oh, sorry, Grandma. She's like, no, whatever. It's your game.
I might slip in here as well, Ashton, just to say that I also have not really had any moments where people have walked in on games. You know, I enjoy my disgusting sex moments in games in silence, in the dark, on my own, as it should be.
As it should do.
Yeah.
But there may have been, I don't know, like an occasion where I was playing Fallout 3 and maybe I had the bloody mess perk on and I shot someone and they just exploded into like a cloud of viscera and gore and organs. But no, I can't really. My parents have walked in on worse things.
Okay, well, so when I was younger...
Let me get that out of frame. Sorry. There we go.
It's okay.
It's gone.
When I was younger, I wasn't allowed the Xbox in my room for some reason. Had to be downstairs in the dining room. The dining room was connected to the kitchen and also connected to the downstairs toilet. So my parents would often walk through when I was playing games. And I bought Saints Row the Third.
Oh.
And I also bought GTA 5. And at one point, I don't know if it was a mission or I just stumbled upon a strip club for the first time, but I was walking around the strip club and seeing all the boobies. And is there a mission in GTA 5 where you have to go in the strip club?
Probably. I can't remember.
Either way, I was in the strip club and my mum just walks through with my father to go outside to the back door, which was also in the dining room. And I was just like, no. God, no. And my mum was like,
I'm going to get in trouble.
Ashton, what is on the telly? And I was like, it's a mission. I'm not controlling it, mum. I'm not controlling it, I promise.
How old were you at the time?
Like 14, 15.
Oh my God, you shouldn't have been playing GTA, apart from the fact that that's the age everyone plays GTA.
Yeah. And then obviously Saints Row the Third, you can run around with a giant penis bat.
A willy bat.
And just various situations in Saints Row are probably not things you want your parents to watch. Yeah. So I had a couple of situations like that when I was younger. It happened more often than I would care to admit, because I literally didn't have a choice. There's no door on the dining room either, so I couldn't even close the door and be like, can you just not come in for a couple of hours?
Some privacy, I'm playing my smart
game.
Don't
play
my game. But more recently than that, last year when we were all working from home, my partner and I were all kind of sat in the same room, and the TV and the like PlayStation's in the same room as well. My partner was working late, and I didn't want to sit in the bedroom all night and just be quiet. So I decided to sit on a beanbag in a black hoodie, in the black beanbag, and play The Last of Us 2. However, during The Last of Us 2, if you haven't played it, there's a sex scene.
A
couple of sex scenes. But there's one kind of, one that I think goes on slightly too long in a boat. And I was just playing that, and Ben was in the middle of a live stream that is dedicated to like 17, 18 year olds to tell them to come to university. And I was in the background like, jeez. And I don't think you could see the telly, but the whole time I was just there like, stop. And I could just hear Ben talking about going to university is a really good choice because it gets you the qualifications, you can get the job. And I was just like, oh, I feel like I'm on camera just watching this
You need a private room to be able to play video games.
Yeah, well, I don't have that now in my flat, but luckily I live alone now, so yeah. I don't have anyone
it's all one
to
big room.
Come over. But yeah, so I've had many a situation in my life where someone's walked in on me playing something that doing something that I don't want them to see when I'm on a video game.
Oh boy.
And I'm sure I've also had the parents thing of, do they have to swear so much in this game?
Yeah.
Well, yes, actually,
yes,
because
Mom.
They're human beings.
Yeah. I've heard you swear, Mum, so. But yes, that's my answer to the question.
I don't understand why my grandma was so offended, because I remember once when I was about 8 years old, she was taking me to school, and on the radio, they were doing a call-in thing where they were just saying, call us in, tell us the most annoying sound in the world, or the worst sound in the world. What do you think the worst sound in the world is? Let us know. Call on this number. Someone rang in and said, here, I've got one, I know one. What about your parents doing it? And I looked at grandma and said, doing what? And she went, having sex, like that. I was like, whoa. Oh, okay.
Grandma, okay.
I understand now. But she just came out with it like that.
Goodness me.
Go off, grandma.
She wasn't wrong. That's what he meant.
What a brilliant radio segment that was.
Yeah, I know.
Sounds great. Sounds really interesting.
Really peak, like, you know, British 1999 stuff.
Sounds a bit odd, actually.
Yeah.
Some might even call it weird.
Key 103 still exists, I think.
Key 103, it's not been bought by Capital.
I don't think it might be part of the network now, but I think it's still got its own name.
Global.
Yeah. It's time for weird news.
Yeah.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's weird news time. Time for weird news. And weird news this week is brought to us by our podcast producers, those being Matt Barger, James Carmichael, Sean Legg, Trick 24, Evan Brightenberg, Fred Cartwright, Ellie Nicholas, Hutch Aten, Harrison Kalman, Dylan, Gabrielle Philippig, and Katie Garrett.
King of the channel?
Well, I mean, it was right there and I just read it.
Right, okay. Do you know
well,
what?
I guess you can just do the rest of the podcast on your own.
Why don't we just do the rest of the podcast without Ben?
All right. Yeah.
See you later.
Go on. Off you go.
Okay.
You've done this.
So it's time for weird news, everyone. This was submitted by Dead of the Sean at Dead of the Sean on Twitter. That's both his handle and his name. Thank you very much for sending this. I'm going to just get it open on my chat. This is according to NME.com,
ooh,
you know, that gaming outlet that talks about gaming stuff.
Uh-huh.
News channels report Arma 3 footage as real-life pro-Taliban attack.
Oh, yeah, I saw this.
This is not good.
No.
Subtitle, Life Imitates Arma. This is written by Andy Brown. An exclusive quote, video claiming to show Pakistan's Air Force supporting Taliban forces in Afghanistan has turned out to be footage from MilSim game Arma 3.
Oh.
That means military simulator. As caught by fact-checker Mohammed Zubair on Twitter, footage posted by Republic claiming to show the Pakistan Army supporting Taliban against the Northern Alliance in Panjshir was actually clipped from an Arma 3 video posted in January 2021.
So someone took footage from the game and pretended it was an actual footage of Taliban.
Put it on the news. Yeah, the clip, while much Brilliant. Lower quality, is from a video showcasing an A-10 Warthog jet versus an anti-air tank in the game. There is then an embedded tweet, so this link will be available in the video description on the YouTube version of this podcast if you want to have a look at this article. It's got the tweet embedded. It's not actually a very interesting video. Hang on. Here it is. I'll show it to Ashton.
Well, Ben's not here, so.
No. It's not. That's it. That's the footage there.
Right, okay.
So it's just that on loop. But they were reporting it as real, which is great, you know. PC Gamer reports the footage appeared on Indian news channels, Republic TV, Times Now, Navbharat, Z Hindustan, and TV9 Bharatvarsh, and claimed to show Pakistan's Air Force engaged in battle over the Panjshir Valley, where some of Afghanistan's military forces still hold out against Taliban forces.
It's so good that journalists and media companies are really doing their homework, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. A Bohemia Interactive representative has told PC Gamer that while the clip, quote, is so cropped and low res that it's hard to identify an exact video, they are confident it is Arma 3 footage. The representative adds that this isn't the first time that footage from Arma 3 has been picked up and reported as a real world event.
Wow.
He says, strangely, we've seen this particular game footage be used several times by certain media outlets in support of their real-life news coverage. We know this is because we've been previously approached regarding similar occurrences by fact-checkers from organizations such as Agence France-Presse, Check Your Fact, PolitiFact, and if I remember correctly, also Reuters. So the article continues, but it basically says that it was, I think this is a different article that I read, said that it had been used in as a depiction of the IRA shooting down a helicopter as well.
Good.
I think it was the IRA. Maybe not. Citation needed, but there you go.
Well, it's not like it, you know, they did their citations.
Well, yeah. So. I mean, why would I bother checking the facts when that's what's happening? People are posting armor footage.
Next, you'll get footage of like The Last of Us and they're like, a zombie outbreak.
Zombie apocalypse.
Oh,
has
my
happened.
God.
So there you go, that's some weird news. Ashton, weird news?
I have some weird news. It comes from Michael Milan on Twitter, at Lord of Penguins. And it's about, I retweeted something to do with this, so I thought I'll read the news.
Okay.
The headline is, Choo Choo Charles is a horror game in which you can fight an evil spider train named Charles with an old train of your own. Keep calm and carry on.
Oh, very good.
That's the subtitle.
I like it.
This is from Eurogamer, and it's written by Wesley Yin Poole. Good job, Wesley.
Thanks, Wesley.
I've never seen a horror game like this before, but I'm going to give it everything I've got. That's not what it says. That's just a little fun little extra for you all there. Mm-hmm. Choo Choo Charles is an open world horror game in which you can fight an evil spider train named Charles with an old train of your own. You upgrade your train over time as you navigate an island. The only problem is Charles is a constant threat. The announcement trailer is below. Have you seen the trailer?
I have seen the trailer.
Again, it'll be linked below. And you can see it on my Twitter as well.
Can't wait for you to stream this.
I'm really excited. It comes out next year.
Yeah.
According to Choo Choo Charles's Steam listing, you need to do things like clear your...
Steam listing.
Nice. Very nice. Mm. You need to do things like clear your path on foot or switch the direction of tracks as you plan your route across the island. All the while, Charles might be waiting for you. Mm. Fantastic. You loot and complete missions to find scrap, which is used to turn your train into a death machine on wheels. There are settlers on the island and you can help them out in exchange for weapons, which you'll need to defend yourself from Charles. Here's the official blurb. In Choo Choo Charles, you're given the task of eradicating a monster known by the locals as Charles. Nobody knows where he came from, but they know why. To eat flesh of puny humans.
Oh, yummy.
You have a small yellow train with a map-mounted machine gun and an exquisite collection of bobbleheads on the dashboard. You'll use your train to get from place to place while you complete missions for the townspeople, loot scraps around the island. Over time, you'll use your scraps to upgrade your train's speed, armor, and damage. You'll grow your arsenal and hopefully become an unstoppable force ready to take on the mighty Charles. Choo Choo Charles is due out early next year. Sounds wonderfully original and completely terrifying. Trains shouldn't do this sort of thing. They just shouldn't. It's the work of Two Star Games, aka indie developer Gavin. Jesus? Hello? I haven't finished reading my news, God. Can you take me in a minute?
Oh, please.
Make over a handful of well-received games on Steam, such as My Beautiful Paper Smile, My Friend is a Raven, and Cloud Climber. Something tells me Choo Choo Charles is on track to be Two Star Games' biggest game yet.
Hmm.
I'm quite excited for it. It looks horrifying.
It does. It looks brilliantly horrifying. And I'm looking forward to seeing you play it.
Well, I guess that's the end of weird news.
In running
then.
Order, it says with the option of either question three, or a profuse apology, says here.
Oh, yeah, it does say profuse apology from Ben Potter for reading out everything and not including the two other hosts in the podcast, even though we're sat here and are paid to be here. I wonder if we'll get that, or we're just going to get someone trying to do
the
spooky.
I mean, the people have paid for it. These podcast producers have paid good money
to
hear
have
that.
Us
so if it doesn't happen, I think
we've
been shortchanged.
I think so too. I'd trying to do. Looks like some kind of ghost is affecting this situation right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's spooky months, but I'm still waiting on that profuse apology.
Yeah, me too.
From Ben Potter. Yeah, I can wait all day.
It's your own time you're wasting, class.
Yeah.
Look at that playground. Do you want to go out there and...
Bear whisperer is currently on the TV.
Hang on.
That's probably... We probably can't...
Hang on.
That's illegal. Hang on. For those listening at home, I hope you're enjoying yourselves. We're having a great time.
Ben tried to be funny, but actually just made more work for himself. You proud of yourself?
I'm actually okay. I think I'll just stay over here.
Yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't want to play today. I don't feel like it. I'm just
going
to
stay here.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Have you got any news to read out?
No.
If you want to see who can outstubborn the other, I'm very happy to move on to question 3.
Yeah, I'm happy to move on to question 3 as well. Okay,
question 3. It's from Harrison Mann, who says, is it purely greed that allows a game like eFootball 2022 to make it to stores in such a broken state, or is it incompetence? Or perhaps both? Thank you, Harrison Mann.
Thank you, Harrison Mann.
I didn't write notes for this answer because I think the answer is basically yes.
Yes, I also didn't write notes because I thought the answer was basically yes.
It's a mixture of greed and, what's the word?
Hey, leave that alone.
Arrogance.
Yeah,
I think arrogance. So. It might not be greed in the sense that, I don't know if this example is a case of this, but it certainly happens, where people are just greedy and they say, we're going to make some shovelware and get some profit off it.
Yeah.
But whether that's what happened here, I don't know. What might have happened is they sat down in a boardroom and said, we're going to try our best to make a game. And then when they realized, oh, it's rubbish, it is still, I mean, that's when it becomes greed. If it's like, well, we're still going to make people pay for this.
We're still going to put it out anyway.
Whether that was the goal from the outset is a different thing.
You have every opportunity when making a game and marketing a game and posting a game to remove the game, like just let people know that either the game's not happening or it's going to need to be delayed.
Yeah.
You know, you've got every opportunity. They just chose not to use any of those opportunities.
Because money.
Mm-hmm. Because if you don't put the game out, you don't make any money on it. Whether people buy it and then ask for a refund or buy it and can't be bothered to ask for a refund, you're more likely to make a little bit of money.
Well, that's the thing. I've not followed this game other than the horrible images that
really
were released
good
upon
versions of
its reveal. I've not seen any stories since in the news about whether people are maybe getting refunds en masse or anything like that.
I'm not sure. No, I haven't seen anything about it. Really. I think most people just saw it and went, well, I'm just not going to buy it then. Mm-hmm. So, oh, hello.
Well, it's free to play, so there'll be no refunds at all.
Right. Fantastic. Okay. Well, in that case, it's not greed.
Is there microtransactions, though?
I think so. Assume. I believe there was a $40 pre-order you could get some additional stuff.
Right, that's what I saw. I didn't realize it was
It's intended
by default,
to be a free-to-play model.
I see, right.
Which, in a way, is really promising because a lot of people have been sick and fed up for the longest time with annualized sports franchises.
Yes.
This game should not have launched in the state it was in. We all had a lot of fun looking at the bugs and the glitches because they were wild.
They were really good.
However, it should be tempered with the fact that it is free to play and also that they kind of said it was just going to be a demo when it launched, which again is weird and not really acceptable. But I've got a quote from Push Square here. In many ways, yes, and then in parentheses, it is a demo. We want people to get hands-on with eFootball as soon as possible, so we will launch with a limited number of teams and modes. Details to follow, which is why there's only like 9 teams in it.
I did see that they were like, more teams will be released as we go. But
it's just weird. Why would they launch it in such a soft state?
I like the idea that details to follow doesn't mean press details and more information. It means no, in the game.
Face details.
Yeah. Face details.
Polygons to follow.
Yeah. Rubbish. I don't know that it's greed as much as it's just a really poor decision. Because they've come out, this is their brand new model to get Pro Evolution Soccer back into the mainstream now as eFootball.
Yeah.
And they've just, I'm trying to put the words together without swearing. They've completely flipped themselves. This couldn't have gone worse. The reputation and the image of this franchise is ruined immediately. I don't know why they didn't wait. Why wouldn't you wait?
I think in this specific example, on balance, it's not greed for the most part. It's greed in the sense that they can clearly see that there are issues here, and to charge people money for that is by definition in some way, shape or form, probably a bit greedy. But I think, more in this case, it's probably kind of arrogance or possibly even ignorance to an extent. They just think like people buy that. People won't care. Let's do it. Let's go for it.
It's not a good look.
No.
Yeah. And it doesn't look good either.
Very good. It's true.
That's great.
Yeah.
It took me a second. I was like, why did she just say the same thing I said? That's really
weird.
I didn't.
I changed it.
You did. You were very clever. I ordered it. Guys, I'm sorry.
Are you really?
Oh.
Do you have any weird news you'd like to talk about now?
I think it's too late now. But we should do the podcast producers again because they're—I don't think they would. Because
they were drowned out by
the
outrage.
Done any justice? Yeah. We've never really discussed. This is new for us. How we want to do this? Should we do one
each?
Last
week we did it
last week.
Each.
One each.
I honestly can't remember.
Okay,
but I will now.
We did.
I think you started last week, so we can do that. That can be the format.
We'll do.
You can go first.
We'll just
and
go
then we'll
in.
Go
in a circle. Yeah. Okay.
Sounds good.
Matt Barger or Barger.
A circle like that.
Yeah.
Clockwise. Right. James Carmichael.
Sean Legg.
Trick 24.
Evan Breidenbach.
Fred Cartwright, a.k.a. G.Y. Goliath.
Ellie Nicholas.
Hutcher 10.
Harrison Calnan.
Dylan.
Gabrielle Philippink.
And Katie Jarrod.
Thank you so much to our wonderful podcast producers. Go to patreon.com/teamtriplejump to find out how you can become a podcast producer, get an actual shout out, and sponsor the weird news section. Thank you so much.
And
guys.
Cause utter chaos.
Absolute yeah. chaos. All of that.
A divide in the
was
team.
On you guys. Shall we move on to something rather large?
Something
yes. Yeah, we should.
What is it?
Oh, it's time for the big discussion.
Oh. It's big discussion time. Time for the big discussion. This week's big discussion comes courtesy of Harrison Calnan, who says, hi, guys and girls and jungle scogs and walruses and other creatures, beasties and everything in between. I am asking, do you ever feel that video game franchises ever get intimidating to play slash jump into? For example, I think the new God of War looks interesting, but I've never played any of the others. And even if I play the 2018 release, I'll still feel like I've missed out on those that came before. And it'd be very difficult, both time-wise and setup-wise, to dive back to the PS2 era and onwards. I know a lot of franchises try and reboot narratives so you can jump in, but with callbacks and inside references, it's difficult to feel fully connected to the narrative. Even as a big Ratchet & Clank fan, I still found that Rift Apart played into lore from games way back in the PS3 era that have unfortunately been forgotten and should have instead been its own game welcoming to new players. Have you ever been put off by game franchises because of this? And if so, what do you think can be done to confront this?
Thank you, Harrison.
Hi, Harrison.
I'm a bit of a slave to this whole thing. I really don't like going into anything unless I've played it from the start. Like whether that's video games or if it's movie franchises, TV series. I hate to think that there are, because that's sometimes that can be my favorite thing in particularly in visual media, in movies and TV shows and stuff, when there's like a tiny throwback in the background or something, a little Easter egg. And I hate to think I'm missing out on stuff like that. So it's one of the reasons why I didn't touch The Witcher 3 for so long. It also was probably what caused me to put it down after playing it for 45 minutes to an extent. It was also just the scale of the game, and I kind of didn't want to commit to a big open world, but I didn't like that there was all this like political stuff going on. And I was like, how much of this should I know? And sometimes that can be the difficult thing is you can play a game, for example, God of War, and it might well be that, you know, you're entering a series for the first time and you're hearing things that are happening and you don't actually know whether know something or not. It might be a new character. It might be a new bit of lore that's never been revealed before. But you hear someone talking about something as a matter of fact and you're like, oh, man, am I supposed to understand that or not? Mm. So that alone can be a bit off-putting. Even something like Assassin's Creed, to an extent, I think is kind of making this an issue when it shouldn't have to be an issue. Those games could be completely standalone by just following different characters in different time periods. But because they really feel the need to tie it all together with this strange animus, modern day storyline that just makes absolutely no sense to me because I've not played over half of the games. I always find that a bit off-putting as well. I know they've really cut that down now to the extent that sometimes it's just cutscenes or sometimes you just
then,
walk across a room. But
with Valhalla, you've got the flash forwards, if you will. But that character, I can't remember what her name is. Do you remember what her name is?
In
Valhalla, the
like modern day
girl.
Oh.
I can't remember what her name is. But she's in Origins, the Egyptian one.
Right.
As the, again, the person going into the Animus. Mm-hmm. And then I assume she's in Odyssey, because I went Origins, Odyssey, Valhalla. Is that right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I assume she's in Odyssey because between end of Origins and beginning of Valhalla, something's clearly gone on here that we've missed out on. And I didn't really know what was going on, because suddenly we're in a cabin and she's talking about like a clock or something that they found, or they're looking for something, and suddenly the sun's like exploding.
Yeah, it was like, and you're like, post-apocalyptic.
I've definitely missed something here. Like, I've missed a couple of steps to get to where we are today. So yeah.
It's a bit of a special case, Assassin's Creed. Yeah. And that's like really like very much a side story, but it still does put me off those games. And I probably would have played more of them in recent years if not for that whole arc that's just going, kind of showing no signs of stopping, even though, as I say, they have really like pared it back a bit in recent games.
It's regardless of the ongoing narrative, I think just the modern day stuff is so crap. It's off-putting, not even necessarily because I don't know what's going on, it's just
of quality
rubbish. And it just pulls you right out of the, quite literally pulls you out of the experience of the time period you're meant to be inhabiting.
But that's those are my thoughts. It does hold me back a lot, actually, sometimes. It really makes a difference.
I think God of War as well, the 2018 one, I played as the first God of War I played, and there was a couple of bits where I'm like, oh, who's this character that suddenly appeared? Like, we've suddenly got, and it wasn't Zeus, maybe it was Athena, maybe appears someone in God of War 2018. And I was like, what's she doing here? We're not talking about you right now. And then my Ben was like, oh, yeah, so there's this whole thing that happened in the old games that, like, this makes so much sense if you know this. And I'm like, oh, but I didn't know that because I haven't played those games. So I had to, like, do a bit of a Google and, like, read the Wikipedia to kind of understand a bit more what's going on. I think the Ratchet & Clank example is actually a really good example, because there's so many Ratchet & Clank games that are still just PS3. Obviously, this is a remake that came out, the movie remake, that goes through the initial story, which, to be fair, for most of the new game, Rift Apart, you don't need much more than the remake to kind of understand what's going on at the beginning of the game, because it's really only the beginning where it, like, focuses on the past games. And obviously there is references to it, and you do kind of find out a little bit of, like, other things that have happened in other games. And there is characters from other games in Rift Apart that are games that not everyone's played. Like, is it Quest for Booty? There's the pirate. It's the pirate one, isn't it? And you've got a couple of characters from that in it. And obviously, like, Quark is a character that you already know from the remake, if you've played the remake. But I do think that's a really good example. My one that is the game franchise that I really do feel like I want to get into, but I just can't, is Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, yeah.
I think Kingdom Hearts is...
I don't know why I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
Like, that's the worst one.
I feel like it's such a good game when I've played bits and bobs of it, but I don't understand what's going on. No. And I'll, like, watch Ben play it, my Ben, MB, play it, and I'm like, I don't... So who's this guy? What's this character? Why are we here? What's
even Kingdom Hearts fans don't understand what's going on.
No, exactly. Like, there's so much lore in, like, other games.
And it jumped from one platform to another, and, like, there were handheld ones, and there were...
different formats. Like, the one on the games. Switch... The one remixes. On the Switch is... Yeah. The one on the Switch is, like, a rhythm-based game, the whole game, but it has some story elements in it. And there's, like, that one that's called, like, Dream Drop Distance or Drip Drop Drop or whatever, that's apparently also something else to do with the story, but it's not one of the 1.4, 1.5. How can you have a game that's 1.5? 2.8. How can you have a game that's 2.8? Doesn't make any sense.
Final mix,
the remix. But yeah, Kingdom Hearts is just baffling to me, but I would love to be able to get into it, but I just categorically cannot understand what's going on.
I totally agree. I really enjoyed Kingdom Hearts 1, and I missed Kingdom Hearts 2 at the time, and I always thought, oh no, I must go back and play that because I really like the first one. And then in the time it took me to think, oh, when will I go back and play Kingdom Hearts 2, all these other little bits and bobs were coming out that I knew I would never really be able to play because they were on platforms, like, that I didn't have.
There's, like, Final Fantasy characters that appear in Kingdom Hearts. And you're like, who are these people? Yeah. What's going on? And then in the newest game, there was, like, Mickey Mouse in a black robe. And I'm like, what? Huh?
Yeah,
what? Why is Mickey gone goth? I'm confused. But yeah, I think, and to the second part of the question, what do you think can be done to confront this? I honestly don't know, because I think that games obviously all have their own inbuilt lore system and their own inbuilt storyline. But when you've got games like Kingdom Hearts that just jumps back and forth from different platforms, back and forth in time, various different stories, same with, I suppose Final Fantasy is not so bad because they're individual stories kind of that don't always necessarily have anything to do with each other. But Kingdom Hearts is definitely very much like, if you just kept it all on one thing and just kind of stuck to what everyone knew, because people don't like rhythm-based games, they don't like mobile games, or they don't like playing on a handheld, they're going to miss out on elements of the story that then might come up later on and be very confused. But there's people obviously who would watch like the Dark Souls lore kind of videos on things like Kingdom Hearts, but it's just so girthy of a topic that it's like, sorry, I didn't know what the word I was looking for was. So girthy is the one. So it's hard to kind of find your way through it. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I answered how to confront it. I think I just ranted a bit more.
Well, I was going to come back to that. I don't know if, Ben, you want to answer the first part first. But
yeah, I don't. While I sympathize with people who are put off by jumping into games when there are existing games in a series or a franchise, I can't personally say that that's ever really stopped me. Mass Effect 2 I had to jump into because Mass Effect 1 wasn't on PS3.
Yeah.
The Witcher 3, that series made its debut on PS4. I had to jump into that one blind as well. If there's a game that I really want to play, then I will just play it. And again, while I understand why that may be off-putting to some people, I think there are definitely ways you can get around it. And if I'm jumping into a game that I have no prior knowledge of, or if, you know, that I want a refresher on, there are thousands of YouTube recap videos, especially on the lead up to launches of big games or reboots or sequels that are knowingly coming to a new platform, or games that have been away for a while and they're getting a new entry for the first time in like a decade. Big channels like IGN we'll put together story recaps of what's going on. So you can always, if you really want to play it, you can prepare and you can do it. And games, I will never stop beating the drum for Mass Effect 2's comic that's at the start that recaps what happens in Mass Effect 1 and also lets you make choices. So developers can do things like that if they want, but equally, they don't really have to, especially in the case of, for me at least, God of War and Ratchet and Clank as two examples that have been cited. While yes, there are callbacks, they are not central enough to the plot of the game that it affects your enjoyment of it at all. Certainly not mine. And I've played God of War 1 and 2, but not 3. But I'm aware of what goes on, and I was aware of the significance, at least, of former characters, not previous characters, and, you know, not the Greek gods are characters, but you know what I mean. Like, entities showing up again. Like, I'm aware of the significance of that as a sort of, like, ghost of Kratos's past, you know, haunting him kind of thing. But for me personally, if I want to play a game, I'm going to play it. Sometimes some are harder to get into than others. You're bang on with Kingdom Hearts. That is one that I just think is impenetrable, as you said, Peter, even to Kingdom Hearts fans.
Yeah.
It's really hard to get into. But certainly for, you know, for example, if you wanted to play Spider-Man Miles Morales and you hadn't played the original Spider-Man, would you get more out of it if you played the original Spider-Man? Of course you would. But you'd still really enjoy Miles Morales because it's not reliant on you having played the first one, for example.
Yeah. I was going to say that, you know, what can be done to confront this? I think on the part of the developer, I think it's well worth having recaps in there. Like, I don't know why you wouldn't make it skippable and literally just have it when you start.
Netflix do it.
Yeah,
Life is Strange shit for every episode. You get a little recap of everything that's happened in the episodes before.
You know, when God of War 2, well, not 2, Ragnarok begins, they should just throw something in there for like people who didn't play the first one. I will have played the first one by the time that comes out, so I'm not concerned. But, you know, and even, I mean, we talk about Kingdom Hearts and the fact that you can get recaps like that on YouTube. I remember when Kingdom Hearts 3 was coming out, there was this video that was going around kind of as a joke that was all of Kingdom Hearts recapped, and it was like 35 minutes long, and it was this, and it really paraphrased as well. I mean, not that I would know, but I'd heard that it was like he was really just glossing over a lot of stuff. And you can like skip through it in like 5 minute chunks, and the way it just tonally changes and introduces like whole new factions and like seemingly like, oh, this is like the most powerful thing ever, and then you skip like 10 minutes ahead and it's like, oh, he was betrayed by the Dark Ones. And then, like, you know, and then you go further ahead and the Dark Ones are now working with Sora to oh, God, please. So
they're all eating ice creams up on the top of the church tower now.
I was really hoping that Kingdom Hearts 3 would actually just kind of sort of soft reboot its lore and history, but no.
It was way worse. My friend told me not to play it.
Yeah.
He's a big Kingdom Hearts fan, and when it came out, there wasn't much. Because it, what was it, 2019, where there were no games?
Yeah. Mm.
And I was thinking, I'd quite like to play that. It looks really fun. Not a huge Disney fan, but, you know, it would be interesting to play through those levels at least. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
But then he was like, no, because
once you finish the Disney bit,
you just won't understand. And I think that was perhaps the biggest crime committed against parents and children that Christmas, was like, oh, play the game where there's Mickey Mouse and like you go to all the Disneylands and like these 6-year-olds are getting Kingdom Hearts 3 and they have no idea what's happening at all.
Yeah.
It's incredible that they managed to convolute that so much. Not that we're saying, of course, that there's nothing of value to be gained from playing the game, or that, you know, from getting into the story and understanding what's going on. It's just that
it would take you a lot of time.
For a game that's based on Disney IP, that was just a mashup of Square Enix RPGs and Disney IP, it's bonkers to see how far they've taken it.
Mm-hmm.
They could get rid of the Disney stuff.
They could.
Really, and it would still be nuts.
It tends to be that there's like two games within a Kingdom Hearts game. You've got two and then 0.8. You've got like Disney, and then you've got everything else that Kingdom Hearts wanted to do but had to do the Disney thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
That happens after you finish all the Disney bits.
You go around and you
just happen
Hercules.
To have like Donald and Goofy hanging out with you the whole time.
Once you've helped Hercules, you've then got to go save the dark universe from the evil ones.
Yeah.
Somebody's trying to take over the universe. Somebody's killed Mickey Mouse.
I had a demo disc. This is just a total aside, but I had a demo disc for Kingdom Hearts 1 before it came out. And on that, there was a video as well, like a dev chat thing talking about how they'd come. It was like literally an elevator pitch. I think someone was in a lift with like a Disney guy or a Square guy and was like, oh, we should do this collab. It was a guy who was more from the Square side. He wasn't to do with the Disney stuff, and he was saying, oh, we were able to give Donald Duck a wand and make him a wizard because he's done that before in Disney canon. He said, we gave Goofy a shield because it's like it's not an aggressive weapon, and it's, you know, it's very much defensive. So they basically, I don't know if you even know, Ben, but Goofy only has a shield.
I've played a bit of the first one, I think, a few times.
And it was just this guy sort of really smiling as though he was excited about the game that was coming out, but you could kind of see behind his eyes going, we were able to give Goofy a shield. He uses the shield in a defensive way, but is also able to attack his enemies with it. And it's like, oh, God,
Disney clearly told you you are not giving that man the red
tape involved.
Yeah.
It's what I imagine it's like working on like a licensed Marvel game at this point, because that IP is so valuable. Everything has to be run by lore experts and quadruple checked by several departments of Marvel before it's signed off on and stuff.
Make sure it's sort of PR friendly. In terms of the question, absolutely. I think like it can be a big problem for me, and I don't know what can be done in some ways, because I shouldn't be on YouTube to fix those issues. I think it should be in the game.
You shouldn't. But equally, sometimes it's not even the fault of the developer, because they're making it for people who already like their games.
Yeah.
And there's only so much, I suppose, pandering they can do for potentially a very small percentage of new players.
Yeah.
You know, and that could cost weeks and millions to implement, even though we would think that it might not be. In an ideal world, I would like that for sure. But that genuinely might be the reason. Like, you play The Last of Us Part 2, they don't tell you what happens in The Last of Us Part 1.
No.
They could do, but they're just assuming that the vast majority of people playing it have already done it.
I think it's difficult when it's a recent sequel, because then they're like, well, Last of Us Part 1 was remastered a couple of years before 2 came out.
It's true. Easily
accessible. But if you've got a game that came out in like 2002 and then the sequel comes out now, lots of people aren't going to have played the first one, and people who are wanting to pick up the second one aren't going to want to go back and play a 2002 game to get into the next one. So
it's true.
It's hard.
It's probably context sensitive, isn't it? Yeah. In terms of what is and isn't appropriate. But
and whether they're looking to welcome new players. Mm. I'm sure they always are, but you know, whether it's a huge priority.
Yeah, it should really be factored into like part of the marketing budget, shouldn't it? Mm. Like even if they just release a trailer on an official channel, social media or whatever, send it to all the outlets and it's like, here's what you missed on such and such.
Last week on Kingdom Hearts. Yes.
Last decade on such and there it is. Well, there we are. Let us know how you're affected by games that seemingly are impenetrable or off-putting because you haven't played the previous ones. Mm-hmm. Does it bother you? Doesn't it? What can they do to change? Let us know. Peter's now going to tell you where you can find us and how you can get in touch if you want to.
Hello, we are Team Triple Jump. You can go to youtube.com and twitch.tv/Team Triple Jump to see all of our videos and live streams. When we're streaming on both of those channels, we're modded by Lord Brotovich, Trowling Badger and Mr. Black. If you've got Amazon Prime, one of the many benefits that you get with that is a Twitch sub. So you can consider redeeming that on our channel and we will benefit from that. Thank you very much. We've got social media, twitter.com and facebook.com, both /Team Triple Jump. Twitter for video and live stream announcements and a few admin-y bits. Facebook for legacy video content, discussions, which we also have over on Twitter. Occasional Facebook Lives. Thank you to Fraser for looking after our social media for us. You can go to patreon.com/Team Triple Jump to see all of the brand new tiers with extra awards. They've simply gone up in value. Everything's still there, but now there's extra stuff too.
Even more. Mm-hmm. We have a website. It's tripledirt.mup. That's JJU.MP. We also have a Discord. So if you want to join Discord and chat with all of your fellow Walrus Clan, you can do by going to tripledirt.mup/Discord. On Discord, we're modded by Jack, Tori, and Hollow Eyes. And thank you to Joe. We'll do a proper thank you in a minute.
Thank you,
Joe. And if you want to listen to the podcast, maybe you're going to the shops to buy a steamed ham and you haven't got time to watch it, so you want to listen to it. You go to tripledirt.mup/podcast to find out where you can listen to it. All of our live stream VODs, which is a lot during the week. So if you miss one, you can go back and watch it at tripledirt.mup/VODs. That's VODS. And then we also have a shop where you can buy merch. Not this, this is my top. Merch, which is tripledjumpshop.com. We've got brand new merch on there. Get it quick because it's selling like hotcakes.
Get it quick.
And you can find out what's going on the merch shop by going to @TripleJumpShop on Twitter.
Yes, you can. Why not follow Peter and Ashton on Instagram and Twitter @ThatPeterAustin and @ScrambledAshton. And myself just on Twitter @Confused_Dude. We do lists every Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. Streams every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Thursday being the joint streams. Blaze it on YouTube. The other days being solo streams on Twitch. Worst Games Ever is fortnightly Friday for patrons of a certain tier, Sunday for everyone else. We do the podcast every Saturday and we have shows one every other week or thereabouts. Why not leave a review on your platform of choice? It helps something to do with Al Gore's rhythms. Of course, triplejump.gg, go check it out if you want some digital currencies or some subscriptions and that kind of stuff. We want to thank Joe, our mod on Discord, who stepped down last week, and Tori, who stepped up as well. So keep an eye out for those changes and those wonderful people if you go over to our Discord.
Thank you, Joe.
Yes.
And welcome, Tori.
Yes, absolutely. There is a What It Means to Me going out on the channel this week. In fact, it'll be out now. That's Matt KC off of the YouTubes, who has very kindly come on to talk all about what Lego Island means to him.
Love Lego Island.
So go give that a watch and reminisce about Lego Island. Mm. There's a rank list, isn't there, Peter?
There is. It's every Persona party member ranked from worst to best.
People are going to be cross. People are going to be really cross.
People
are
going to be really cross really, with really just cross. My pronunciations.
Really. There was a lot of back and forth about how they pronounce certain
words. We did a lot of retakes.
Yeah.
I did a lot of retakes. And I did retakes in a different room to where I recorded the original retakes.
Oh, no.
And then they didn't really insert into the old one because the acoustics were different. So I'm sort of talking like, the best thing about Ryuji is...
It's actually pronounced Ryuji.
Ryuji.
Oh, more retakes.
You're going to have to do it again. But this has been a long time coming, this one. It has been a lot of retakes, a lot of re-exports because of, you know, Japanese names and we're not native speakers, so we're trying to get it right.
Yeah.
But equally, this is not a ranking of the best boys and the best girls, the ones that you want to, you know, wake up next to in the morning.
Do that's kisses.
Not, do kisses with, do sweet, sweet kisses with. That's not what this is.
But can you do sweet, sweet kisses with them?
Most of them.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
It's not a ranking cat. Of, not the cat, though, sadly. It's a ranking of their effective, don't look at me like that, their effectiveness in battle and also the strength of their sort of personal stories that unfold throughout the games.
Yeah.
It's obviously massively subjective, and I don't think anyone else has ranked all the Persona members, probably for good reason, because the fan base are going to be irate regardless of where people are ranked.
Well, dislikes and angry comments are engagement, according to the algorithm. So yeah.
You know what? Why not be a force for good and just say, wow, this list looked like a lot of work to put together, and I really appreciate all of your hard work. My personal top five are...
Mm.
Yeah.
There you go. One I did.
The cat, the dog, the robot, and two girls.
Combot.
Combot is in it, actually. Mm. Anyway, it's time for us to go. Just time, though, to talk about this week's sponsor once again, which is an antidiuretic called Outlast Poo.
Mm.
Don't need to go into that anymore because absolutely it not. Was disgusting. Mm. Thank you so much for listening / watching, and we'll catch you all next time. Have a good weekend. Bye.
Love you, bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.